Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram from the Trussell Tribune, sitting in for Phil Williams today. JP had the controls in that first hour. I walked in at the end of it. You guys were right on the topic I was looking at before I came in the door. Was it Jean-Pierre?
Corinne Jean-Pierre, yeah.
Corinne Jean-Pierre. I always go by her initials.
As we call her, the gaslighter-in-chief.
I'm telling you, something else. And you and I were sharing with you that I was listening to Megyn Kelly just rip into her on an earlier interview today, and she played a little piece from her interview with Joe Scarborough this morning, where about halfway through the interview, let's remind listeners, the name of the book is An Insider's Look at a Broken White House. At some point during the interview with Joe Scarborough, she shifted and started claiming she's talking about Trump's White House.
Yeah.
So that's
that. You're not the press secretary for this one.
Yeah, that's just bizarre. Hey, we got a guest sitting on the phone. I want to get right to him, mainly because he and I never plan out these interviews. Representative Danny Garrett from Trussville. He is the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee on Education. And friends will occasionally hear me on the radio, and they'll hear Danny because I drag him everywhere I go. And they'll say, "Did y'all plan all that out?" And Danny, you're on the air now, but we don't plan it out, which is probably a mistake on our part.
We do not plan it out. And I'm actually at the beach. I have no idea what you're going to ask me, so I'm really probably walking into a trap.
I was really busy today, so I didn't have time to plan a trap, or I certainly would have. I did, though, think, as you know, as we were getting ready to come back on the air, there were two prime things I wanted to talk to you about. But you also may have something you want to talk about, because you guys, you don't go into session for a little while yet, but you're already in the thick of conversations, committee meetings, a lot of planning is going on for the session. So if there's somewhere you want to go, feel free to just take the conversation there. I'd like to start with the latest on the situation with the AHSAA, what you're hearing from your colleagues. Kind of where do you feel like that is sitting right now, and do you have any idea what we can expect when you do get into session on that topic?
Well, I think that's just a mind-boggling situation. We tried to talk to the board and to their different other members and their leadership when they first began to raise the concern they had about the CHOOSE Act. Of course, what they've done, they basically declared the CHOOSE Act as financial aid, and that impacts the ability of kids who are utilizing the CHOOSE Act to go to a school to play sports. And that just was never the intent of the law. It's not financial aid. I mean, and the law specifically says it's not. But for some reason, they are just not going to back off that stance. And, of course, you know, we've got lawsuits filed by the governor and the speaker, and there's an injunction and all that's going on. And they just kind of doubled and tripled down on their position. And I've not heard anyone within the legislature show any support or understanding of what they're thinking. I mean, I think at this point, there's always been a lot of tension between that organization and some of the legislators, but we've always worked through these. This one, I just don't know. I think that Lieutenant Governor feels very strong about the situation, and what they're doing is just not right. It's not fair, and it's violating the law.
Right.
I think they leave us no choice but to say, "Guys, we're going to take care of it." So I've not found anyone in Montgomery that I've spoken with that has shown any support at all for their position.
Yeah, and to reiterate your earlier point, the CHOOSE Act doesn't just say this can't be used to in regards to eligibility. It calls AHSAA out by name and says you cannot do this. That the audacity of an organization that is split off from the Alabama Department of Education. I mean, it's a separate entity, but all of their funding is derived from the people they're flipping the finger at. How do they expect this to end?
On public school property or private school property or property that we're funding. And, you know, and I don't understand it. You know, the media is trying to make this as if the legislature is wanting to open up NIL and unbridled transferring among all the schools. That's not at all. In fact, the provision we add in the law just says this is not going to circumvent any of their rules regarding bona fide moves or anything like that. So it's just, I don't know. I think that when you get down to the bottom of it, that some people in that organization do not like the CHOOSE Act.
Right,
they don't like
right.
the scope of it. They don't like, they have issues with private schools, and they don't like where we are, where we're going. And so they just said, we're going to make a rule. And so you guys have to do what we say. And I think we're going to find out.
And we do know that all of this is being handed down by their central board, which is made up, what is it, about 9 members, Danny, something like that?
I think there's 15 members.
15.
I think there's only 2 coaches on that board.
That's
I
right.
think most of the members are, the majority, the largest group of members are superintendents. But they've got other people that I don't know why they're on the board. I don't understand their rationale.
Right.
They have no accountability, no oversight. Good luck trying to get a financial statement to figure out what everybody gets paid. I mean, they're just putting, I think they forced us to, we're going to have to just start taking this issue on. And I think there's a resolve to do that.
I don't think you're going to have a choice. As Senator Elliott refers to them, and you and I went over the list of people on the central board. You mentioned there was a private school coach, public school coach. One of them, I think the private school coach has been retired for years. So he's not active. The rest, as Senator Elliott would refer to them, are educrats, superintendents, assistant superintendents, principals, assistant principals. And we know, because you and I, you sponsored the CHOOSE Act. I've been probably your biggest hemorrhoid over the CHOOSE Act for 2 years, or over school choice, I should say, screaming and yelling about it. But you and I both know there are a couple of names on that central board that were very outspoken against school choice and wanted no part of it, didn't want the legislature to pass it.
Right. Yeah.
Do you feel like this is a backslap to the legislature for passing school choice?
Yeah, I think they feel like this is a way they can just, control what we do. It's just not going to work this time, and I think they've opened up Pandora's box, and I think there's everything's out there. I mean, there's all these anecdotal issues that people have with them, and most of the time they involve their positions or rulings they've made that are really, any fair-minded person would say that's not fair, that's not right to a particular situation or child, and I mean, there's plenty of those examples. And I think, now all that's kind of piled up, but now we've just got an organization that's pretty much saying, yeah, we know you wrote the law, yeah, we know you passed the law, yeah, we know what the law says, but we don't care. Our rules trump the law, any law you got.
Well,
and that's just crazy to me.
I want to follow up with their next step as well, Danny, because I think the public needs to know exactly what is going on here, exactly how this has played out. The lieutenant governor, no, it wasn't the lieutenant governor, Speaker of the House and the governor had to file an injunction, or requested an injunction from a judge to stop them from keeping kids on the sideline, because kids had been suspended. They'd been told you can't participate this year.
A week before the season started.
A week before the season. And so they're losing practice time. They only get so many games. And from what I remember, these are 7th and 8th graders. You may only play 6 games in middle school. But so this is going on. The judge does issue the injunction at the request of the governor and the speaker. And then you found out some information that AHSAA were notifying these schools, okay, the judge says these players are ineligible and you've got to let them play. But we're telling you, if we get this reversed down the road, you're going to forfeit those games if you go ahead and play them.
That's what I've heard. They've not told me that directly, but I've heard it from more than one person, a reliable source. And I think you see even one of the comments of one of the lawsuit members, that's what they were saying, was that, yeah, well, you got this injunction, but just know that if we prevail in court, we're going to make you forfeit those games. That's just typical of their strategy. I mean, we're talking about high school, middle school sports, letting kids participate. And they want to go down this road. And, I don't get it, but we'll find out.
Yeah, we're in the find out phase. So we'll move into that when the session starts. There is quite a unified front. You mentioned that earlier in terms of the governor's office, the speaker's office, the lieutenant governor. You've got Senate members that are outspoken about it. Danny, I even noticed some Democrats who were absolutely not in favor of the CHOOSE Act. They've got an issue with the way AHSA is handling this.
Yeah, so. I've had several of them tell me that. Yeah, because this is beyond that. This is just them flexing what they believe is their unlimited authority, and that's just. I think we're to the point now that everybody's gonna have their say, and legislature, I think, is united as a united front.
Yeah,
business, certainly the executive branch, and so we'll see.
Unfortunately for the AHSA, only legislators get to vote on this. So we'll see how this plays.
And I'll say this too, that there was a big legislative conference in Birmingham this summer,
uh-huh.
And of course, with the whole college athletics changing and all states are dealing with school choice and virtual schools and home schools and micro schools, all
right,
things
right.
Changing landscape. It was brought up not by the state of Alabama at this meeting, but by several other states that they were having issues with their high school athletic associations who were not open to the evolving landscape and making adjustments.
Right.
So I think this issue is not only going to be limited to Alabama, I think you're going to see it in other states as well.
Well, no surprise that an organization or a group that has pretty much had a monopoly on kids for a long time, they're losing that because legislators have decided, you know what, we're going to let parents make education decisions for their children. And the folks that did not really have to compete with that are now going to have to compete. But that was part of your goal with the school choice to create competition. JP's trying to tell me about how long we've got before break.
We'll probably go to break.
It's time to go to break now.
Yeah.
All right. Danny, can you hang on through this break?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to break real quick. We'll be back with Representative Danny Garrett. I want to get the latest on the online sales tax, plus whatever Representative Garrett wants to share about the upcoming session. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Phil Williams. On the line with me is Representative Danny Garrett. Danny, I don't want to keep you long. You're at the beach. Do you have the whole family there, or is it just you?
Just Carol and me.
Just you
just
and Carol.
Carol and me, yeah.
Man,
yeah.
That's a treat.
It is, yeah. we miss all the family, and we end up talking about all of our grandkids. How about that?
But you don't have to buy dinner for 40. You don't have to buy dinner for 40 people when it's just you and Carol. So that's a good thing. Yeah. I don't want to take away from your beach time. I do want to talk a little bit about the online sales tax. I know that's an issue that will be coming up. Cities have concern with the disbursement and just the way the whole thing is handled. You and I've talked. There are a lot of moving parts here. It's not all going to get resolved in this session, but you did have feel pretty good about maybe being able to deal with some of the app loopholes. Are you still optimistic about that?
Yeah, it's a very complicated issue. It's got multi layers to it. If you want to start with the standpoint that the online tax is less than the tax of the brick and mortar. There's a way to equalize that, but that would require a tax increase, and that's not going to happen anytime soon. The other thing is that would really solve the problem, because as long online sales grow, you're going to continue to have that issue down the road as people, opt for online versus going in, to the brick and mortar. So that issue is one issue you got to deal with. But when you're talking about these apps, there are some loopholes that I think we can address. Those are easily addressed. I think most people would agree that would be fair to address those.
Yeah.
I would expect we would look at those. So if you use an app to buy groceries, you'll pick it up. You shouldn't get less tax. And if you call in or you go pick it up at the same store, those type of things. The issue you get into, though, is really what they really want to do is how do we allocate the money that's collected. Of course, the state gets 4%, which is the second lowest sales tax in the country. The county gets their piece, the cities get their piece. And the concern is, of course, that the cities, who depend so much on that sales tax revenue, are seeing their revenue decline because of the increase in online purchases. And many cities believe they are getting the short end of the stick. So you've got if you've got a city that thinks they're losing $5 million, that means you've got another group that thinks, well, if you take it away, I'm going to lose my $5 million.
There's
ways to get to some solution. But I think when you look, like, even in my district, I've got three cities.
Mm-hmm.
One of them believes they're coming on the short end of the stick. The other two are kind of neutral. They don't really have a strong position. I think when you look at how you fix this, you've got to count how many noses do you have in the state house that are on the winning side and the losing side. And I'm not sure. I think you may have a lot of people that like it just the way it is because they're in areas that they feel like they're getting a benefit from the current formula.
Right.
So I think that is a more difficult issue. I think it's certainly resolvable, and I think there's some way to kind of meet somewhere in the middle or address that. But that's going to require discussions, of course, with the executive branch and the Senate and House leadership and others and the counties. And nobody wants to give up anything, but I think ultimately there's a solution to that. That's a little more complicated, though.
I
think closing these loopholes early on is something we should easily do. I've heard very little pushback on that.
Good. Well, I think we've got to start making progress on it. And as you said, there are a lot of layers. Danny, with about 30 seconds to go, just anything you want to address about the upcoming session?
Well, you know, I think this is the Governor Ivey's last session, so I'm meeting with her folks next week and to find out kind of what their thoughts are about what they would like to do on the way out. I think that, you know, we know the budgets are kind of stabilized and education budget's in pretty good shape. General fund's going to have some challenges down the road. But I think that, you know, it's an election year, and I think people are going to be wanting to get in and get out pretty quick. So I would expect it to be altogether a smooth session, maybe a quick session, not too much controversy is what I'm expecting.
We would be very disappointed on the media side, but I kind of hope you're right. Danny, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. That was Danny Garrett, Representative Danny Garrett from Trustville. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Phil Williams. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You stay with us.